This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala sayyidina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa shafi'ina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ba'du. Fassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will continue our journey through the world of the divine names. And our scholars always differ about which knowledge is the most, or the best knowledge. Which knowledge should one start with? And everybody seems to be saying, you have to start with me. The fuqaha say, you have to start with fiqh, so that you know how to worship the one you worship. People of tafsir, they say you need to start with tafsir. Otherwise you can't understand the language of the one you worship. And the people of hadith say, no, wait, you need to start with hadith. Because otherwise you don't understand the one that who invites you to the one you worship. And others say, no, you need to start with Arabic. So at the end, everybody says, what is going on? Where do we need to start? Well, to be quite frank, without any doubt, like Imam Siddiq Hasan Khan Al-Qinnuji said in his book Nail Al-Maram, he said, and the value of the study is connected to the subject that you are studying. So when we are studying the names of Allah, the subject is the names of Allah. So we can't say that there is anything better than studying the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said at the very beginning, that I found it very strange, after becoming a Muslim, that the majority of Muslims didn't memorize the names of Allah. And the strangest thing is that sometimes I have students for a very long time, and they hear me saying this over and over again, and when I ask them 5 months later, do you now know the names of Allah? They say no. And this is really very, very dangerous. Why? Because knowledge, when the police, stops you in America, the cops, and they say like everything you say can be used against you in the court of law. Well, this is the same. Everything which you are being told can be used against you in the court of law. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about that someone will not move his feet until he is asked about 4 things in another riwayah, 5 things. And one of these things was وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ بِهِ. And he will be asked about his knowledge, yani the knowledge that he, about his knowledge and what he did with his knowledge. Either it was to show off, either it was to forget and ignore it, or either it was to put it into practice. That's all what people do with knowledge. Either it's to boast, say, look at what I know, 1 hadith, 2 ayat, here I am. I know 3 names of scholars, look at me, listen to me. Or either it is, you're just forgetting it, like you come to a class and you go away and never think, give you a second thought, or you put it into practice. So this is what knowledge is about. And knowledge is when you go to circles of knowledge like you are doing today, then you don't come for the teacher. Sometimes I had teachers who, when they spoke, were quite boring. The way they talk is like very monotone, right? Like, a'udhu billahi, yes, and then you need to be afraid of fire, and then you need to go to paradise. It doesn't matter how they say it. Today, we want imams to be rock stars. We want them to move us. We want, to have the feeling, I just went to a concert, look at the sheikh, moving his hands and doing it, which is not wrong. But I mean, what you are coming for is the essence, the core, and that is what is being said. So now when you come to the dars, you are telling yourself, I'm going to a tree, and this tree bears many fruits, and I want some of these fruits. I don't want a tree. Like Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah azza wa jal said in his book Minhaj al-Abidin ila Jannati Rabbil Alameen, he made very clear that knowledge is a tree, and the deeds are its fruits. And you don't want a tree for the trunk, you want a tree for its fruits.
Okay? So now to come back, the most important knowledge without any single doubt is learning who Allah is. This is the most important thing. And without this, everything goes wrong. Because now if you, for example, you believe in certain rules that if you cross a red light, then you know you will receive you will be fined, right? You say it like this, be fined? Yeah. But you know, if there are no cameras and no police and it's in a road very far from central London, you look left and right, say, whatever, I don't care. Because the only reason why you stop is because you don't want to fine or because you don't want to put people in danger. And then you just go. Because you know they cannot see you at certain moments in time. But when you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no moment where you can see, I won't be fined. But the strange thing is that some people, they respect the law to a point, which is good, to a point where even if they were to be in the desert and find a red light, they would stop out of principle. So can we then say that people respect a red light more than we respect haram? This is the question we should ask ourselves. When you drive your car and you see this iron out of iron made sign, and how do you call that? When you have to?
Bend.
No? Please help me out. No, when the road you want to take is blocked. In
diversion.
Yes. SubhanAllah, you know, sometimes, some days my English is better than others. Today it's my worst day. So, diversion, right? And so I see no one saying, you know what, it says diversion because danger for rocks falling down on your head and snowballs dropping from the sky. You will say, okay, I believe this iron sign. It's made out of iron. Without any explanation, you say diversion. Without giving it a second thought, you do it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't go this way, go that way. Sorry, Rabbi, not now. And you go. So are people now stronger in holding on to stoplights and stop signs than we are to halal and haram? So what is going wrong? Why do we know so much? And why is our crisis doing so little? This is the first question we need to ask. Because I believe that everybody has the sincere feeling of wanting to put his or her knowledge into practice. I don't believe that there is a Muslim who says, okay, I don't care doing haram, or unless he's very far away from Allah. We all yearn to be transformed. We all desire to get to somewhere. Being it praying on time, being it memorizing the Quran, being it controlling your anger, being it whatever that you are aspiring for. And what is the reason that you cannot do it? Because not you in particular, but why we cannot do it is because we haven't got sufficient knowledge of Allah. That's the only reason. If the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, then you will find the energy and the taqwa to do what he wants and to leave what he forbids. It's because fiqh are dry rulings. If they are not connected to a bigger reason, then they're just, this is allowed and this isn't. I don't mind breaking hearts because that person is weaker than I am. So let me just shout at my wife, make her cry, stress my children out because I had a bad day. I don't care. Who will do something? That's my wife, that's my child, for example. You can also maybe have a wife that says, I don't care about my husband. I do what I want, you know. So what is going to control us? What is going to bring this ummah back on track? It's not the rules. Because the rule or being taught the rules. It is being taught how to please Allah through these rulings. And only then, when we know it's not for the sake of the rule, but it's for the sake of the ruler, that we will be able to live up to these standards and norms. So a lack of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the very reason why everything is going wrong. Why we don't find enough energy to put our knowledge into practice. Why we keep on gossiping. If you don't know that Allah is a Samir, or you forget it, or it's not encrusted in your heart, then Allah is Samir, but I gossip anyway. Allah is Basir, but I show deeds that I shouldn't, you know. Allah is Al-Khabir, He knows what is in my mind, but I still think what I want to think. My own thoughts, sometimes very bad. So if we know Allah, then everything will be fine. And this is why Ibn Ajiba rahimahullah azza wa jal said in his book Iqad al-Himam, he said, من دلك على العمل فقد أتعبك ومن دلك على الدنيا فقد غشك ومن دلك على الله فقد أرشدك. He said, من دلك على العمل فقد أتعبك. Yani the one that shows you the way to deeds, the only thing he did is exhausting you. Because you see, there are so many deeds one can do. And they're not all obligatory. We're talking about these extra things. Praying at night, praying witr, witr for the Hanafis is wajib. So praying duha prayer, fasting on Monday and Thursday, memorizing Quran, visiting the sick. I can't do all of this. So now, Allah, why did I say this? What was the sentence that preceded this? Is there a cat? Okay. Mm-hmm. So he said, the one that shows you the way to deeds has exhausted you. Meaning, you will be performing these deeds and they will stress you out. You should know that if you do something for a beloved one, it's never stress. You're never tired. If your beloved one says, like you just got married, first 2 days, and you just came home, she says, oh, I really wanted a pizza. And you say, okay, I will give it. No, not the one from behind the corner, the one 100 miles away. You say, darling, no problem, I will go right now. Even 200 miles, you want me to go to Belgium, I come back. So why? Because when you're driven by love, you don't feel the burden. You see? So if now we feel the burden of worship, oh yeah, I got to wake up for Fajr tomorrow, okay, no problem, I will do it. We're driven by something else. We're driven by fear, by being fined. You know, it's like stopping in front of the red light because there is a cop. That's it. That's nothing. You're driven by not a real emotion. So now, he says, مَنْ دَلَّكَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ فَقَدْ أَتْعَبَكَ. People that keep on repeating, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. They forget that we are human beings. Because we will get tired because we're focused on the deed. And the energy is being focused on the Lord of deeds. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so then he said, وَمَنْ دَلَّكَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا فَقَدْ غَشَكَ. And the one that shows you the way to do dunya, yani he has betrayed you. Because you will find no happiness. So behind focus on deeds, you will find exhaustion. Behind focusing on dunya, you will find betrayal. وَمَنْ دَلَّكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَرْشَدَكَ or he said, فَقَدْ نَصَحَكَ. And the one that shows you the way to Allah has truly and sincerely advised you. Because if you concentrate on Allah, deeds will follow. And this is what Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah said in a book that should be read by everybody. It was his last book. And he dictated this book, so he didn't write it himself. At the end of his life, when Imam al-Ghazali went back to Tools, he had his own garden. Within that garden, he had built a house for his students. And then they would sit there, sleep there, eat there. And in his last period, Imam al-Ghazali would concentrate a lot on hadith. Because he said about himself, like in Hayal al-Madin, I don't have a large provision of hadith. Meaning it was not his strongest branch. But then at the end of his life, he started studying Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawood, and so forth. So anyway, and this was his last book. Minhaj al-Abidin ila Jannati Rabbil Alameen. And he dictated this book. And he said, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, one of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Now, know that Allah is one, and then do istighfar. Meaning, first there is knowledge, then there is action. And this is why Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah azza wa jal, mentioned in his tafsir about the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have only created jinn and mankind, but to worship me. Ali radiallahu anhu said that the meaning of worship me here means إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونِي. I have only created them to know me. But in the Arabic language, sometimes we use a verb to get to something else. Meaning to know me and knowledge of me will eventually lead to worshipping me. Because you can't worship without knowledge. If you don't know who Allah is, you can't worship. So when Allah said, I have created them to worship me, meaning they first knew Him and then they worshipped Him. Because worshipping that which you don't know, you can't worship it. Okay? So the stronger your knowledge is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the the stronger your worship, the stronger your knowledge is, the stronger your worship will become. Is that clear? But now when we look at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ulama have categorized these names. And all in different ways. Imam al-Qurtubi categorized them and so many other scholars. But what they agree upon is that we categorize them in two general categories. One is Asma'ul Jalal and the other ones are Asma'ul Jamal. Asma'ul Jalal and Asma'ul Jamal. The first ones are the one of majesty and the other one are of beauty. But they're all beautiful. So they're not trying to say some are beautiful, some aren't. Meaning the names like the crusher, the punisher, the one that takes things down, the one that prevents you from having what you like, the one that doesn't give you what you want. You see? The one, the strong one, the great one. This is Asma'ul Jamal. And then on the other hand, we have Asma'ul Jamal, like Al-Wadud, the giver of love, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Tawwab, the forgiver, the protector, and so forth. These are Asma'ul Jamal. One of the reasons why we don't connect to Allah is because, look, we have three things, right, to plug this in. You know these plugs. If I put only two in, will it work or not? Does it or not? It will. If I put one in?
No.
Okay, good. One. In Belgium, we have two. We don't have three. You drive on the wrong side, you have three instead of two. Anyway. So let us say you have two, right? And you just put one in, it won't work. We want to connect to Allah just through Asma'ul Jamal. I want to see Allah in my life as the one that takes care of me, the one that protects me, the one that gives me, the one that elevates me in rank, the one that forgives me, that is never angry with me, Allah this, the one that blesses me, doesn't take away my blessings, just gives me what I want. Actually, we want to be a spoiled brat with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. On the other hand, Asma'ul Jamal, no, it's not for me, it's for other people. I never get punished. Allah will never take away something I have and I like. Allah will never prevent me from something I love. Then I don't Allah. And we see this in our attitude. Ya Allah, why? Why this, Ya Rabbi? I wanted that. You see? And this is why we don't connect to Allah. These 99 names are your keys to divine presence, to divine nearness. And if you start to be picky, cherry picking, like, okay, here a bit, I want this name with that, and what are we doing? If Allah is all, if all these names describe us who Allah is, then eventually this will be manifested in our lives. This will be manifested in our lives. Sometimes He will take away what we love. Sometimes He might, you know, not allow us to, He will not even answer our prayer. He doesn't have to. You see? He doesn't have to. So now what we need to know, if you are travelers on the path to the hereafter, we need to be ready to accept all the godly divine names in our life. And as long as we hate not the name, because we're never going to say, I hate the name, but the manifestation of the name. There where we say, why? Why couldn't it be different? Why did it need to happen to me? We all do this, but now we are aware that this is wrong. Is that clear? Laith, he can't even crawl. But he's moving forward, sitting. That's my son. Yeah. Say shukran ya Rabbi. Laith. He's laughing. Okay, so do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we have the Asma'ul Jamal and we have Asma'ul Jalal and Jamal. Jalal and Jamal. So these names have to be present in our lives. The problem is, when there is a blessing, we recognize these names. When the opposite happens, we say, this is life. SubhanAllah. While that which happened was a way for Allah to make us know Him. Through the happenings of life, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ says Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, and fear Allah, be God conscious, and you will... What? And you will be taught by Allah. SubhanAllah. So not even revelation. Fear Allah wa yu'allimukumullah. And Allah will teach you. SubhanAllah. Direct teaching. What is this? The divine names. So now we need, and this is dangerous. Why? Because the moment you say, I will accept these names, you expose yourself to danger. But a danger wherein you are protected. Nobody ever said that knowing Allah is easy. I mean, you are trying to plug in into a world unseen. Landscapes not yet discovered. Depths unknown. Shallows far away. How are we going to move through this world unseen? Protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we need to... he's going to drop the camera. Today we need to tell ourselves that we are going to accept all names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we are not just going to be pleased with the beautiful names, but also with the manifestation of His other names. Because one of the scholars said, don't you dare to gossip about Allah. He said, how can we gossip about Allah? He said, by complaining to people what the Creator does in your life. This is what we do. This is what we, the majority of Muslims, do. We complain to people about what happens in life. But when we disconnect what happens in life, the bad things, then we don't find the energy and the positive vibes to carry on. We will become depressed because we detach it from its maker. We say, oh, why did they do this? Why did they take away my, I don't know, my honor, my life, my, why did they stab me in the back? I helped them all the time, this, that. The more Allah loves you, the more He will turn people against you. Because He wants you for Himself. When Allah loves you, then everything which is between you and Him, He will take it away. شِئْتَ أَمْ أَبَيْتْ. If you like it or not. He will take it away. Because it's your fitna. So when He loves you, He doesn't want you to give this love to someone else. And this is why we protect our beloved ones through الْحُبْ لِلَّهِ. Loving for Allah's sake. He accepts this. You love this for Allah's sake, it will last. And this is why they say, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ نَعْمْ دَامَ وَاتَّصَلْ وَمَا كَانَ لِغَيْرِهِ انْقَطَعَ وَانْفَصَلْ. That which is for Allah, dama, will last, وَاتَّصَلْ, and will stay connected. وَمَا كَانَ لِغَيْرِهِ, and that which is for others than Him, for others' sake, انْقَطَعَ, it will be disconnected, or it will be broken and disconnected. Friendships, why do they end? It's not lillah. Marriages, very often, why do they end? It's not lillah. Because if something is lillah, you will adhere to what Allah wants you to do in a particular situation, and then it can only last. Even if you are the one that wronged others, and you say, this is what Allah says, this is what the Prophet says, you say, this is lillah. I am wrong. You are right. How can you go in your stubbornness against what you know to be right according to Allah? This is where fiqh rules and so forth. So now, when you are on your way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take away many things. You just need to be prepared. Look at our Prophet alayhi salam, away from his country. Khadija radiallahu anha, taken away. All his sons died very early. All his daughters apart from Fatima lost them in his life. Uncle gone, father gone, mother gone, country gone, honor, not for the Muslims, but a quote in public, they tried to take it away, honor of his wife away, money gone, health, they hurt his noble face. So what was left? Allah. And this is why when the Prophet ﷺ was with Abu Bakr in the cave, and Abu Bakr said, they will see us, Ya Rasulullah. Of course, Abu Bakr was frightened. This is a natural fear. We are allowed to. Some people say, don't you dare to fear others apart from Allah. Well, fear is something healthy. If we don't have fear, then I will be warming water in my hands over a fire. And I say, I wait until it heats. I don't fear pain. So fear is something good. But fear which is haram is a fear that will allow you to do haram. Is that clear? But normal fear is... So anyway... So now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, they will see us, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Abu Bakr, he said, oh Abu Bakr, don't be afraid. مَا ظَنُّكَ, what is your thought? مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. About two of whom Allah is the third. You see this? So when you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentioned in his Jamil Ulum al-Hikam, he attributed this to one of the Salihin. He said, أَمَّا بَعْدْ إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ مَعَاكَ فَمَنْ تَرْجُو فَمَنْ تَخَافُ وَإِنْ كَانَ نَعْمْ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَاكَ فَمَنْ تَرْجُو. يعني إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ مَعَاكَ فَمَنْ تَخَافُ. If Allah is with you, who do you fear? And if He's against you, in who do you put your hope? Okay? So now you need to know, on your way to Allah, He might take away what you love. Just look at the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Did you see what I just mentioned? This is not the only one. Nuh alayhi salam lost his son in Kufr and his wife in Kufr. His wife didn't follow. The wife of Lut neither. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they went to hellfire. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He lost everything. His father, his mother at the very beginning. His father was alive, of course. And then his brother put him in the well. Then he was sold as a slave. Then he was falsely accused. Then he was in prison. All of this. He lost everything. Until Allah gave him back everything. You see this? So this is why we need to be prepared. If you want to know Allah, then you have to allow Him to be who He is. Not allow Him in your heart, because He will be who He is. Is that clear? And that's very difficult. Because at a certain point you know that you have to let go. You know, that you don't control all the strings in life. And don't disconnect ever, because then you will be weak. Then you will despair. Don't disconnect any affliction in your life from Allah. Don't look at the hand that moves, but at the power that makes the hand move. Okay? Otherwise, wallahi, you will despair. Is that clear? Okay? So now, when we know this, so that we need to have a look at, that we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Asma'ul Jalali and Asma'ul Jamali. Yes? Then we will get to Allah. Otherwise, we won't. Imagine yourself, and this is just an example. You come to someone and he says, can you please turn? You say, why? I don't only want to talk to your right side, not to your left. You say, brother, if you like me, you love all about me. I don't like your nose. Cover your nose, please. So you start saying, this I like, this I don't. But it's not physically the same, of course, but we are picky. Ya Rabbi, don't manifest your power in my life. Don't manifest that you are the taker, that you are the ruler, that you are the one that sometimes doesn't give me what I like, because then I will disconnect it from you. No. Connect it to the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this clear? And to the one, this is the name that we are going to talk about today. The one. The one. Well, al-ahad and al-wahid. Al-ahad and al-wahid are two different things. The first thing we need to know when we say al-wahid, the one, or al-ahad, it's not a numeric one. It doesn't mean one, two, three. And this is why the Messenger of Allah, or even in the Quran, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, He is the first one and the last one. What does it mean, the first one and the last one? There's nothing in between. He's the only one. There's no competition. He's unique. He's the one, al-wahid. And you have al-ahad. Al-ahad. Al-ahad and al-wahid. Allah. So the first thing we need to know when we look at al-wahid is that Ahlul Sunnah divided al-wahid, al-wahdaniyatillah, the oneness of Allah. So I'm talking about the oneness of Allah into three categories. The oneness in His being, the oneness in His deeds, and the oneness in His attributes. Okay? So this is a oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing which is incredible when you look at the oneness of His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Allah has knowledge, right? We say Allah has knowledge, but His knowledge is one, meaning He knows everything at the same time. He always knew it and never forgot it. And He knows everything in all its possible combinations. How many hairs you have in your beard and I have in mine, and then how many eyebrows hairs in your eyebrows you have, and then how many teeth Laith has in his mouth. All possible combinations, He knows them at once without having to figure it out or to count it, because everything is in His dominion. So when you speak about the oneness, you don't only speak about the oneness of his being, but the oneness of everything. He doesn't have two knowledges. He doesn't have two powers. If I want to now take lathe, then I will have to stop doing what I'm doing. Say, sorry guys, my son is about to fall down. Allah Fadu. So I go, I take him, then I come back. I'm always divided between things. And I can't concentrate on one thing. Multitasking only goes this far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything at the same time. And for him there is no time. So this is, when we speak about oneness, it's something incredible. You know, and this is when we say one, when we go on a journey, what did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us to say? Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. Subhanallah. Oh Allah, you are the companion during my journey and my protector in my family. Well, I can't do this. Either I'm the protector in my family or either I'm on a journey. But he is the protector of the family and at the same time, also the companion in the journey. He can be the one that punishes you and forgives you at the same time. He punishes you for this sin while he forgives you for that. Subhanallah. His oneness means that he can do everything at all times without it being divided. The one subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, one of the attitudes one needs to have towards this name is that we shouldn't be ego tripping. We shouldn't be, you know, directing people to ourselves. Here I am is the disease. And there is a book, How the West Became Self-Obsessed. It's not by a Muslim. It's not a hate imam, a hate preacher. How the West Became Self-Obsessed. This is the disease that we are coping with. If Imam Al-Ghazali would have written Ihya al-Muddin today, it would have been bigger. Believe me, it would have been bigger because there are new diseases that didn't exist before. Now we are capable, now we can invite to ourselves day and night. If I look at Muslims today, and I'm not excluding myself, but in general, Allah, we, as I said, I think that 95% of the Muslims don't memorize the names of Allah. But here we are, on the internet, inviting towards ourselves. Look at my, I always give the example, look at my cupcake. Look at my new car. Look at my child new shoes. If it were only this. But even our ibadah, we show off with our ibadah. This is terrible. Like here I am, circumambulating around the Kaaba with my selfie stick, reminding people of God. Subhanallah, what are you doing? Everybody, you know, has seen Hajj before. The only reason why you do it is to show your face. So here I am, yes, brothers, alhamdulillah, I'm in the best place on earth. Yes, I see this, that you really understood it's the best place. You're still connected to people and not to God. So now, then when I'm reading Quran, profile photos, Quran, or with my subha. You know, with this pose, like, I'm really deeply thinking and this picture was taken without me knowing it. So, yeah. So I mean, what's going on? What is going on? And while we are inviting towards ourselves, we actually forget to remind people of Allah. SubhanAllah. And then I sometimes ask myself, what if Allah were to ask us, oh my slaves, why were you reminding people of you while they were forgetting about me? That's a musibah. That's really a musibah. So this is why it is very important when you believe in the name, the one, that you don't want to be the one. You want to work for the one. This is what it entails, right? You want to work for the one. Just when I look at people who are in MMA, for example, everybody wanted to work for Conor McGregor. I want to tie his laces. I want to pour out his drink. I want to carry his bags. I want to drive his car. I want to take his pictures. Everybody. And he says, the notorious me. Yeah, that's how he calls himself. So anyway, so everybody wants to be at his service. So people want to be at the service of a sheikh as well. You know, if a sheikh doesn't watch out, he will find people doing everything for him, which he shouldn't allow. You know, people, you know, they say, can I carry your bag? Well, then I carry yours. We're all subjected to the same Lord. We're all subject of the same Lord. You carry, which doesn't mean that we as students, we can't do this. I do this for my sheikh, you know. So I don't say it's wrong if you do that for them. But to come back, like, we even want to serve, you know, be at the service of mashaykh. And sometimes we're more at service of people than we are at service for the Lord of people. If you truly believe that Allah is the one, then be proud that you can come near to Him. Be proud that you can serve Him. Be proud that you can are from the elite that can knock His door at any time and that will be open at all times. You know, this is an elite, isn't it? Like when you want to knock the door on the door of a Hollywood star or a king or a president, you need months in advance and you get 2 minutes. You get 24 hours if you like. But we forgot that it's such a big thing that we even don't care. When I have spare time, I won't use it to connect to the one. Just, where is my phone? Here I am scrolling, looking at what I can do. You know, oh, maybe a brother, did they WhatsApp me? Oh, they didn't WhatsApp me. Why didn't they WhatsApp me? Okay, let me WhatsApp someone then, you know. So, if you have time in your spare time to be connected to the one, then why don't you do it? 1 minute. So, one of the attitudes towards the one is that you show him that you know that he is the one. Meaning, that he is everything you need. You want a shoulder to cry on? Figuratively speaking, he's the one. You want to be encouraged? He's the one. You want peace of mind? He's the one. You want a friendship that will never be broken unless you break it? He's the one. You want a friend that always comes back even if you turn your back? He's the one. Do you want to make somebody do you want to meet someone who makes you happy? He's the one. So you find everything in him. That is what it means, the one. You want somebody helping you financially? He's the one. Protecting you, bodyguard, figuratively speaking? He's the one. Teaching you? He's the one. Giving you health? He's the one. Giving you a child? He's the one. He is the one. You see this? And the more that you understand that He's one in all of these things, the more we will understand our neediness, how dependent we are. Because if He's the one, then we are the nothing. There can't be two ones. And this is why once I... Jazakumullah khairan, thank you so much. This is why once I asked one of my mashaykh, I said, sometimes, you know, we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talk about the Qur'an and knowledge, and then we scholars are students of knowledge. We feel that we are zero. He said, yeah, we are. He said, when a zero places itself behind the one, it becomes 10. When a zero places itself behind the one, it becomes 10. And if the ummah, all these zeros, place themselves behind the one, they become a billion. You see this? The problem, he doesn't call yet. He wants to come to me, but he can't. So he's frustrated. What? Yes, inshallah. SubhanAllah. So yeah, the one. Okay? The one is also the one that is in need of nothing. Our existence is dependent on two things. That everything inside of us goes all right, and everything outside of us goes all right. If I malfunction on the inside, or if I am threatened on the outside, my existence can come to an end. The one doesn't have this. He doesn't depend. His existence is independent. It doesn't depend on anything, because he surpasses time and space. Yes? So if you look at it from this perspective, then you know you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Everything you need, you will find it with Him. Is that clear? Everything. And as long as we don't understand this, we won't be happy Muslims. You know, and at the beginning, when we said Asma'ul Jamali wal Jalal, remember? If we don't understand this concept, we won't be happy Muslims. You know that a Muslim is happy? Today, it seems that the more pious you become, the more saddened you must be. This is our perception. It doesn't mean that we don't feel, for example, for the people in Yemen, for the people in Palestine. Yes, that saddens us. But we have different parts where we are allowed to rejoice with the blessings of Allah. So sometimes people think that the more pious I become, the more sad I should appear. The more I should sit like this. You know? And how are you, brother? Alhamdulillah. I mean, the Muslim, you know, is happy with his Lord. He found what he loves. If you find what you love, and you have access to the one you love at all times, why don't I see these happy Muslims? Because we are not connected to Allah, we are connected to Islam. We are connected to the rulings, but not to the ruler. And then the rules become very harsh, they become like a mechanism, because we are connected to the rulings. And we need to adhere to these rulings, but we need to connect to the ruler. So when did you meet a Muslim? Says, brother, how are you? Alhamdulillah. Say, whoa, what's going on? You should say Alhamdulillah. So Alhamdulillah. Say, what? You know, I just realized that I can talk to Allah anytime. You know, I was walking and I looked at the sky and I knew that He gave this color. He made it like this for us. And I was sitting down and I was digesting my food and I didn't even know how it was, how what was going on. My heart is beating. He's doing this for me. While I was actually sitting 5 seconds ago. But when did we see this? And then the problem is, when we talk, because we have a certain kind of complex, we always want to express fear. Always fear. Which is not wrong, we need fear. But like, oh man, hellfire, this and that. But in our heart, you know, once I said, when people talk a lot about Palestine or Yemen, for example, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove their tragedy and uplift them and restore their peace of mind and their peace of land. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, erase all these traumas and strengthen the widows and the orphans and help every man that needs to protect his family. Now, so I used to say, don't talk about Palestine and don't talk about Yemen until you, when you are alone in your room, that you put your alarm clock 2 at night, that you cry during the night, and that you make dua for them while no one sees you, even your own wife or husband, and that this is your night, and you say, Allah, strengthen them. Allah, please be with them. Allah, Ya Rabbi, I can't sleep. It has torn me apart. If you are like that when you're alone, then talk on Facebook. Otherwise, it's fake book. We need to be true to ourselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. He looks at your hearts and looks at your deeds. And very often today, we are empty boxes. Here, everything is talking like, but actually there's, you know, what is on the inside? How are we connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what it's all about. Okay? So now the one subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us happy as well. Why? Because if you know that the one is in need of no one, why did He choose you? Why you? It's not because your parents are Muslim. Nope. No, it isn't. Say, yes, I'm Muslim thanks to my parents. No. You're Muslim thanks to Allah and your parents were sabab. If people were Muslims thanks to their parents, then the son of Nuh would have been a Muslim. True? Yes. If parents were Muslims thanks to their children, then the father of Ibrahim would have been a Muslim. True? If women are Muslims thanks to their, what? To their husbands, then the wife of Nuh would have been a Muslim, or the wife of Lut. And if husbands would have been Muslim thanks to their wives, then Fir'aun would have been a Muslim. So Allah set all these examples to show you that your iman is because He loves you. Is that clear? So this is the feeling you need when you know that He's the one and He doesn't need you, but yet He chose you to give you the key to paradise in your heart. Wallahi, you should jump out of joy. Just knowing this, doesn't that make you happy? When you wake up in the morning with La ilaha illallah in your heart. And La ilaha illallah is the key to, if I were to give you a key now, and I say, brother, look, this is the key. I found a very rich guy in Saudi, Qatar. Why do I mention these countries? There are people, rich people in other countries, right? Anyway, so Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Doha, and so forth. And he gave me a key to a palace, a halal palace. You know, it's a halal key, a halal palace. And I will give it to you. You have your Bentley and your Rolls Royce and you have your jacuzzi. You have waiters working for you and everything. You can move into this house in a month. Here is the key. And you know it's true. How will you feel during that month? Not a day, maybe not an hour will pass, you know, without you thinking about it, looking at this key, Allah, Ya Rabbi, almost. You know, you will be talking about it because, do you know what they gave me? Do you know? You will start doing da'wah because you love that. You remind people of what you love. This is how it works. You love something, you talk about it. Being it football, being it tennis, being it whatever. So during that month, you will even dream about that palace. Now you woke up with La ilaha illallah in your heart this morning. Where was this feeling? What happened? Is our faith in His promise so weak that we do not experience any joy when we know that He doesn't break His promise? What happened? Where's the connection between knowing and feeling? Where's that connection? Where has it gone? And this is where we need to work on. We believe, wallahi we believe, but we don't feel what we truly believe. Wallahi, if we were to feel it 100%, and I would say, Narullah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they heard Narullah, khalas, boom, they fall down. Like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, like Imam ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir, that he was looking at, how do you call a smith? You say an iron smith? Blacksmith. A blacksmith who, you know, he put a sword in the oven and it melted away, it became red and started trembling. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he just lost consciousness. And then he woke up again, said, what's wrong, Ya Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? He said, I said, if iron, which is stronger than I am, you know, melts and, you know, away in the heat of an oven, what about me in Nar? Sometimes people would drink water and they would start crying. Say, why do you cry? You say, because I know that this is exactly the thing that the people of hellfire would desire and will never receive. So these people's hearts were connected to what they believed in. And this is our problem. We want to feel again. We want to experience again. We want to be transformed, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. How are we going to do this? Asma'ullah. Names of Allah. Names of Allah is the injection we are in need of. If it comes into your heart, mashallah, you will come alive again. But how now will we allow this to happen? Or how will we be sure that there are no obstacles? The biggest obstacle between the injection and the effectiveness of this injection is that you are free of sin. That we are free of sin. And in harmony with the quantity of your sins, or the absence or presence of them, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transform you more or less. So if you really want knowledge to transform you, then the first thing is repentance. How are we going to do this? Well, like Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah said, he said, if you really want to repent and know what's going on, then lay down in a dark room. When nobody sees you, when nobody hears you, lay down, do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lie down or lay down? Lie down. Please correct me, because I'm not an English native speaker. If I say something wrong or something which is not correct, you have to correct me, okay? So it's, if I... They're both right, okay. MashaAllah. Do you know that the Arabs, at the time, at the beginning, when grammar was written down, they used to engage in literal war because of these kind of words. Even if they say they're both right, say no, one of them is more right than the other. And then they would write books about it. So alhamdulillah, you scholars are fine. Both are right. So then you just lay down. He says, close your eyes and imagine yourself, the angel of death now coming to you and saying, I'm going to take your life in 24 hours. What are you going to rectify? Who are you going to tell sorry? And for what are you going to say it? Because everybody has this little voice in his mind saying, I need to rectify this. I've wronged someone. I need to correct it. But because we're ashamed. Because, you know, like Imam al-Ghazali said, if you had courage enough to go against Allah, have courage enough to come back to Him. SubhanAllah. You see? Like, if you have had the courage to sin, well, have the courage to repent. So these things, we delay them. And the only reason why we delay them is because we think that we still have a long time to live. If we thought that we were going to die in an hour, wallahi, everybody would start making phone calls. You would remember things that you have forgotten right now. So many things that we need to rectify. So this is why he said, lay down on your bed. Imagine the angel of death coming to you and saying you have 24 hours. And then look sincerely at what you would do and do it. And that's difficult. That's very difficult. Because we don't want to lose our face. But the problem is, if we don't lose our face here, then we lose our hasanat there. That's the biggest problem. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you know the ones who are bankrupt? They said, Naam, Ya Rasulullah. The one who has no dirham and no dinar. He said, no. It are people that will come on the Day of Judgment and find mountains of hasanat. Mountains of hasanat. Many. He says, okay, I'm in. He says, but no. He says, then people will come and they will take away from his hasanat. He has gossiped about that one, slandered that one, didn't give back something to this one, and so forth. So he started mentioning sins until all his hasanat are gone. But there are still people left. So now they will start throwing their sayyat, you know, in his camp. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, until he will eventually be thrown into hellfire with their sayyat. So yes, it's good thinking about all these hasanat and doing all these good deeds. But one of the conditions that our scholars had at the beginning, where there was still tarbiyah, spiritual education, was you can't reach Allah if you still have sins you didn't repent from. It's impossible. And this is why very often we want to go there. We climb, we climb, we climb, we climb. Without knowing why, we fall. Say, I didn't commit a sin. Well, maybe 10 years ago. You know, like these balloons, they float and then you take them back. They float, take them back. As long as we didn't repent from every sin, then we won't reach our final destination. Impossible. So if you want Allah, you need to free yourself from these sins. It's very important. Because they stop you. Is that clear? So that's why if we want this journey to work, this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing is to repent from all our sins. Even tonight before tomorrow. The question's at the end, inshallah. Even tonight before tomorrow, write them down. Write your sins down. And don't be ashamed. Allah knows them already. Write them all down. And then you look at the sins that are between you and creation. You need to rectify this to start with. Because the sins between you and Allah, if you die, Allah can say, I forgive you. But the sins between you and creation, no way. It depends on that person, Yawm al-Qiyamah, but believe me, nobody will forgive you on al-Qiyamah. They are too much in need of your hasanat. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing, if you want these classes about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to work, then from now on, you don't talk about creation, yani about people. Don't be concerned with what people have to show on social media. This is very difficult because it turned into a disease. You know, social media is a jungle. It's a street without an end. You go for this, it's created in such a way, they observe what you search for, what is your interest. This can be the deen as well, but then you go from one to another, and before you know it, you're lost. So you are going to concentrate on real people in real life. The time that you are looking at, oh, poor people, oh, these poor sick people, oh, look at that poor boy, sick boy, visit a sick person in the hospital, for example. So try to step out of unreal life. Social media is not real. It's fake. Some things are good, but majority of things are bad. So I'm not saying social media is haram, but it is more bad than good. Okay, so that's point number two. And the last one I want to share with you is, and it sounds like a cliche, but dua. Make a lot of dua. You know, Allah loves dua. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن يُسْأَلْ. Allah loves it when He is asked. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He is not asked, He will become angry. Allah is angry with the one that don't ask Him. So the thing you really need to do is at night, the last third of the night, is there where all calls are answered. Put your alarm clock, 2 at night, 3 at night, you wake up with one goal. Dua, making or asking Allah that He allows you to be connected to Him through His names. So let us start with these three things already. Repentance, meaning a lot of istighfar. At the beginning, don't look for too much other adhkar. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. You know, try to do a lot of istighfar. And then secondly, what? Dua. I said the third thing. Don't concentrate too much on creation. Don't spend unnecessary time with creation. So this is in brief what I want to say about this. Are there any questions that you would like to ask? Yes.
We mentioned about serving people and that you would carry back your share.
Yes.
What if somebody is doing it for Allah?
There's no problem with the people doing it. It becomes a problem when people desire it, for others to do it for them. So it was just an example to say that we want to serve people, we serve our parents, that's not wrong. But the problem is we serve creation, but very often we serve creation more than we serve the Creator. And that's where the problem is.
You serve creation for Allah.
Yes, so I didn't say there was a problem.
Yeah.
What I mentioned was that the problem was if people expect this, like you're a sheikh and you expect people to do this.
But they expect, that's their problem.
But that's the one I was talking about. Yes. But if you do things for Allah, there's nothing wrong with it. Because then it's still for Allah. Yeah.
The second question that I was going to ask, I can't remember it now.
You had three questions, I think.
Yeah.
It will come back, inshallah. Okay. Yes.
You. In terms of the dua.
Yes.
So when you say you ask Allah, is it, do you have to sit down, put your hands up, or can you just all the time walking, talking, sleeping?
You can all the time. Okay. But it's good to really sit on your knees during the last third of the night, even in sujood, during your prayer to ask. But the Prophet ﷺ even said, when you hope for something, then hope for a lot, because in reality you are asking Allah. So even what you wish for is actually a dua. So do it a lot. When you walk, when you, whatever. Yeah.
The second question.
Yes.
You said we have to free ourselves from the sins.
Yes.
And do istighfar.
Yes.
We do, but then we tend to do the sins again.
Yes.
And then we do istighfar again, and then we tend to do the sins again.
Yes.
And I don't know about other brothers, but I feel it when I feel that connection is lost.
Of course.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the prayer doesn't feel the same after that.
Yes.
So how do we come over that?
To do a tawbah nasuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha." So, repent a nasuh tawbah. In a nasuh tawbah, like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, like Imam al-Tabari mentioned in his tafsir, is a tawbah after which you don't commit a sin. And if you commit a sin after your tawbah, it means that your tawbah was not strong enough. When do you know that your tawbah is strong enough? When your tawbah is painful. When a real tawbah, like very often we say, astaghfirullah, 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 we're not really saying anything. But a true repentance is a repentance where you do not only tawbah, but where you also observe the reason why you are committing the sin, which is your keystone habit. Meaning, you are going to look at what causes me to sin, and I will stop that as well. So very often we repent from the sin, but we don't look at where the sin comes from, what pushed me towards the sin. So, and this needs to be cut off as well, because otherwise you will keep on sinning. So it can be wrong companionship, it can be so many different things, this is for a person to find out. So a real tawbah shouldn't be followed up with a sin. Otherwise it's tawbah, it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you will commit a sin again. And this is why we repent tawbah nasuha, meaning a painful tawbah where you really cry your heart out, you know, where you are desperate, where you are on your knees, begging, yearning, you know, and it's so painful that next time when you want to sin, you think about the pain you had when you were repenting, and you say, I don't want to go through this again. And this is tawbah nasuha. Okay? Yes?
What's the best way to make dua from the sujood or anytime?
Well, it's any time, but the best one, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the closest that one, يعني أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه وَهُوَ السَّاجِدِ, the closest that the servant will be to his Lord is when he is in sujood. So ask, beg, and make a lot of dua in your sujood.
Is it in front salat or
sunnah? Both.
Why, hey, when we do jama'ah?
Yes.
The prayer started after, dua started after this salat, after the salat.
Yes, dua after prayer is also a moment that dua is accepted. All times, but sujood is the best one. Yeah, in sujood, and if you can do it in sujood during the last third of the night, in your night prayer, that's even better. Yeah.
Shaykh, in the sujood, can you do dua in any language?
I can do dua in any language, but in the Hanafi fiqh, for example, they say that the dua you make shouldn't be asking anything that creation can give you. Meaning you say, for example, oh Allah, give me a Mercedes. Everybody can give you a Mercedes. But it would be rather forgiveness, paradise, protection against hell, and so forth. So this would be typical for the Hanafi fiqh and some other madhahib are of the opinion as well. But yes, you can in your own language, there's no problem. Yeah.
What about if one wants to make dua for others?
Yes.
You know, for different some children.
Yes. That's okay, of course, yes. Because it's also something, as long as it is something that only Allah can give, oh Allah, give them prosperity, oh Allah, give them your protection, oh Allah, cure them. This is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Just one thing, you know, when you said remembering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would it be okay for myself to learn a few names at a time?
Yes.
And look through the meanings of what they mean?
Yes, yes.
Would that be the best course?
That would be the best thing, inshallah. But what we are going to do, because we were maybe with 3-4 people in this class today, we're about 20 something or more. So I would like to cover the names we've seen already in very brief, so that the meanings will be explained, and then we will cover the other names that we haven't seen yet. So if you keep on coming to these classes, inshallah, then inshallah, we will cover these names. Yes. Yes, please.
So, going on from that, so it's better to, so for instance, if we're doing this course, to Kala, 100 names is going to take us a few years. Sorry, 99 names. A few years. So, is it better to learn the names and just like a basic meaning as opposed to...
There's nothing wrong with that, of course. Yes, yes. But to every name is connected to three things, as we said at the beginning of this course. And that's ta'alluq, takhalluq, and tahakkuk. Meaning it should change the way you behave, the way you feel, and the way that you look at life. So every name should inspire you with three things. With the way that you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the way you behave towards people and towards your environment, and the way that you look at life, perception of life. So every single name is connected to these three things. So if you go over the general meaning, you won't find these things. It will just be a general explanation. On the other hand, very often the translations are not very good. The names are very often translated in the wrong way.
Where would be the best place, or where can we get the best translation about the names?
Well, I believe that the book of Imam al-Ghazali, Maqsid al-Asna, yani that he gives an explanation, a brief explanation of these names, so that will give you a deeper understanding of the names. So I would advise you to go over that one. That's really one of the core books of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been translated into English. Yes.
So you said ta'alluq, takhalluq, and
tadabbur. And tahakkuk. Yes. And the tahakkuk is realization of the name, but we refer to it as reflection, as you said, tadabbur. It can be tadabbur as well, yes. Naam.
Sorry, one more. You were talking about making tawbah.
Yes.
I just want to understand a bit how that works, because so saying istighfar constantly, that's a good thing, even if we're not remembering exactly which sin we're saying istighfar for.
Okay, that's a good one. Well, Imam Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, in his Fath al-Bari, in chapter, the beginning of Revelation, he spoke about this. And one of the things he said was, is it better for a person not to do dhikr, like istighfar, for example, because he's absent-minded? Or is it better to do it nevertheless, even though he or she is absent-minded? And then Imam Ibn Hajar referred to Imam al-Ghazali, which is very beautiful to see. And he said, Imam al-Ghazali actually replied to that question, so I won't do it. And he said, it is better for a person to do dhikr, even when he or she is absent-minded, than not to do dhikr. Why? Because at least one of his limbs or her limbs is in worship, which is the tongue. And then he also mentioned in detail that at the very beginning, when you start with a certain dhikr, you start it with an intention. Like, I'm going to do a lot of istighfar for example, something I've said about this person. And then you do the istighfar. At a certain point, you won't be completely with your heart into the istighfar, but it will still be counting because your intention was at the very beginning. Exactly like with Ramadan, right? Like, if I start at the beginning of the day, I had my intention, you know, before Fajr. And then during the day, sometimes I forget that I'm fasting. But does my fasting still count? It counts. So that's the same with the dhikr. Like, I started it with an intention, and everything until its end is seen as a whole.
How
yes.
Can we also make repentance for, because obviously we're answerable for all our sins, and you're saying we should make tawbah and the other
tawbah nasuha.
Yeah, for all our sins. But there's so many sins that either, I don't know, I've forgotten.
Yes.
Naam.
Yes.
How are you meant to?
Well, the Prophet ﷺ, he answered that question, and he said that if someone has forgotten about whom he has spoken bad of, or if he has wronged someone, that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that person hasanat. So you say, for example, oh Allah, if I have gossiped about someone that I've forgotten about, Ya Rabbi, give them barakah in their rizq. Ya Rabbi, keep his wealth safe. Give him a good health. If he's married, Ya Rabbi, save their marriage. You're going to make dua until you feel that you have freed yourself from this sin. So making dua for these people. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's very important to do this as well. In English, I don't know the title, but it's Al-Maqsid Al-Asna.
So
Yes. So it's Book of if you look it up, Book of Al-Ghazali, about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Can you say istighfar without thinking about sins or sometimes you just randomly, you make all these du'as and you say istighfar and all this and that without thinking that you've done something wrong?
You can.
Is that okay?
It can never be wrong, but it's not as strong as saying it with presence of heart. So saying istighfar without thinking about anything.
No, what I meant was, it is with the heart, because sometimes you're doing, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, and then the other does the end.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And
yes.
It's not thinking like the way you were saying that you feel like you've done something or you're asking forgiveness for some that you've hurt somebody.
Yes.
So it's not connecting that way, but you're still doing istighfar. Is that okay?
That's okay. But it's always stronger when you think about something. Because the istighfar is for something in reality, because you're asking Allah to forgive you. So it is always connected to something. But even if you wouldn't have anything in mind, it's still okay. Yes. Somebody else? Yes?
You mentioned Imam Ghazali and Minhaj al-Arabi.
Yes.
Where he gives his own experience akin to them to valleys that he had to cross.
Yes.
Now, in this day and age, those valleys have become much deeper.
Yes.
Certainly in my own lifetime, much more broader.
Yes.
And the bridges to cross those have also been gone.
Yes.
And I think new valleys have come out, and you mentioned social media. More specifically with this course, can you link any particular attributes or names to cross those valleys in this day and age?
So yes, we will. Yes, we will. We will, inshallah. I briefly referred to the one, and that we shouldn't use social media to represent us as being an important one. So, but we will definitely do that, inshallah. We always do. Yes.
And one other question. You mentioned two things. One was about Allah taking away for things for the sake of His love.
Yes.
And one for the sake of punishment. How do we know which one it is?
If he does it out of love
or punishment.
Okay, punishment. They say, if an affliction happens in your life, and then you need to look at the result to see if it was a punishment, or if it was a reward, or if it was an education. So that's always three things. Either you're rewarded, it's a reward. Even taking away something can be a reward, or it can be a punishment, or it can be to teach you something. If it's a reward, then the affliction in your life will draw you closer to Allah. If it is a punishment, then it will push you away from Allah. And if it's to teach you something, it's a new perception that you get into your life, or an insight that you see that you have to work on something. So an affliction in life always comes for these three things. So it's by looking at the result that one knows. No. Yes.
So similar to this, what you just said, so if we know that Allah is the burn, He's the taker, and sometimes you have these afflictions that hit us so badly, it's absolutely devastating. And that grief, it stops people from living.
No.
How do we deal with that grief, and how do we help others in that time? Because if you tell them about Allah at that time, they're just so in the moment of that grief and that devastation that they've nothing is helping them.
None. I understand what you mean. I will try to give a very brief answer, because I think we need to elaborate on that. But if the person before the affliction was strongly connected to Allah, he will be strengthened when you talk about Allah. But if a person in question wasn't this connected to Allah before the affliction, then reminding that person of Allah might actually not do anything to that person. Or if you say, why are you even talking about this? It might even frustrate the person. So this person will then be in need of a different kind of counseling and approach. So, and this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that's the last thing, inshallah, I want to mention, because I think Laith has to sleep, is that the Messenger of Allah alaihi wasallam said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Yani, know Allah in times of prosperity And he will know you, yani preserve you, assist you, help you in times when things go wrong. Meaning that if you were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good times where everything goes good and you're really connected to him, then you will find your strength in your connection with him when everything goes wrong. But on the other hand, if you're not connected to him when everything is okay, you will not find your strength in him when everything goes wrong. So, and this is why very often when things go wrong, you remind people of Allah to say, it's like it always almost, you know, frustrates them, or say, well, they might even become angry with Allah. So it all depends. So, but it doesn't mean that you can't help these people through another path, inshallah.
Why me?
Why me, yeah. Because you're the object of his deeds. Yeah. Okay, Jazakumullah khairan, everybody. So we will go over these names. For the ones that entered later, it's recorded. At the beginning we gave quite some important points about Jamal and Jalal and so much more. So inshallah we see each other next week, bi-idhnillah. Make dua that we can finish all these names. تعلقاً تخلقاً أن تحققاً وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.